And tonight's shiur, we're going to be discussing halachic perspective, but mainly more a historic perspective behind a minhag in Klal Yisrael found in majority of the communities today in Klal Yisrael, starting from Rosh Chodesh Elul through Shmini Atzeres. We all conclude our davening with a piece of Tehillim, Kapitel Chav Zayin, L'David Hashem Oiri. What we need to discuss is some halachic ramifications behind it. What's even more interesting, I think, is the historic background behind this minhag, so to say, of the recital of the David Hashem Oiri. As we mentioned in the past, many of the minhagim that we have today, that we follow religiously during the month of Elul, during Tishrei, up till and including Shmini Atzeres, is usually found in the Sefer Mat Ephraim, written by Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis, and this minhag is found there as well. If you look in one of, we'll call it the earlier sources, even though we'll see tonight that's not the earlier source, but one of the famous sources for this minhag of the recital of David Hashem Oiri can be found in the Sefer Mat Ephraim. Again, the Mat Ephraim was, we're talking now, the late 1700s, early 1800s, and the Mat Ephraim writes the following. Noyagim b'medinas elu. There's a minhag in our communities, May Rosh Chodesh Elul ve'elech, from Rosh Chodesh Elul and on, ad Yom Kippur. Until Yom Kippur, lo yimei b'chol yom achag mahatfilah, to say at the end of every day at the completion of davening, mizmor chav zayim b'tehillim, to say the 25th capital Tehillim, which is Adavad Hashem Oyu v'yishi, boikir ve'erev, we say it every boikir and every erev. Now, the Mat Ephraim doesn't tell us what erev means. Does erev mean ma'ariv, which is the simple reading, or Erev really means Mincha? We spoke about this last week, that when the Ramon Shulchan Aruch wrote that there's a minhag to blow shofar be'Erev, we said that Ramon Feinstein said Erev doesn't mean nighttime. Erev means Mincha, or if you daven Ma'ariv early, but it doesn't mean night. It means earlier. So here also, when the Mat Ephraim writes, the minhag is to say this capital by Boikiv Erev, does he mean Shachris and Mincha, or does he mean Shachris and Ma'ariv? It's not so clear. So now the first version of this minhag is not what most of us do. The first version of this minhag is only from Elul to Yom Kippur, and then it's finished, and it's done. Which would make a lot of sense if the idea behind this capital has something to do with Tshuva and Yom Narayim. So I think we all agree the Yom Narayim end with Yom Kippur. From Yom Kippur and on is a different experience. That's Sukkot. Sukkot is not the Yom Narayim experience. So that would be very logical. However, he goes on to say, no, the Anu Noigim, that's not what we do. We have a custom, La'aymer at Shmini Atzeres. We go further. We don't stop after Yom Kippur. We go through after Yom Kippur, through Sukkot, all the way up to Shmini Atzeres, v'ad v'ad b'chlal, and even and including. It doesn't really give us too much reasons. The Mat Ephraim is just telling you what he did. What he did in his city, what they were doing in that time of history, this is what everyone was doing. Does that mean it was made up at that time in history? Maybe. Probably not. Probably just means they were continuing a Messiah that they had from someone else. And then he goes on to give us some halachas about this tefillah. And if there's a day with his musaf, such as Shabbos or Rosh Chodesh or Yom Tov, so then achag matfil shachris, then you say it after shachris, kaidim ein kamaycha. You say it before ein kamaycha. Ube erev, and what say it's erev? Oime maysa achat fil samincha. Now we're getting specific. Ube erev, you say it after mincha. Very quickly, why are there two minhagim in Klal Yisrael, either by mincha or by ma'ariv? So the Tefillah Kehilchasai writes in a footnote that the reason why they like to say by mincha instead of by ma'ariv is because we have this idea that we don't like to say Tehillim at night. Night is not a Yimei Ratzon, it's not an Eitz Ratzon nighttime, which is one of the reasons why we don't say Slichas at night. Night until Chatzos, from sunset till Chatzos, is not a good time to do a Seiris. It's a good time to do a Seiris, but it's not a good time for Slicha or Rachamim. It's not a pleasant time. It's not what we call an Eitz Ratzon. The Eitz Ratzon, as we'll see later, is really right at the end of the evening, right before it turns into daylight. Like, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. That's really the preferred time to reach out to Hashem. So says the Achrayim, that's why we don't like to say L'dav Hashem Ma'ariv by Ma'ariv. Ma'ariv is nighttime. Nighttime, L'dav Hashem Ma'ariv is a capital Tehillim. We don't like to say Tehillim at night. We generally don't say Tehillim at night. We don't do a lot of some people don't learn Tehillim B'Ksav at night. Night is not the best of time. That's the reason behind the minog to say L'David by Mincha. But in any case, he says, but if you're of those communities who say it at the end of the davening, now the question comes up, what are you doing on Rosh Chodesh? You have Baruch Hinavshi, or you have L'David. Who goes first? So the Mat Ephraim Paskus, Yesh L'Hak, the Mizmor Baruch Hinavshi, the Mizmor Oyu V'Yish. Baruch Hinavshi goes first. The assumption of the Velt is the reason why Baruch Hinavshi goes first is based on Tadi V'Shein L'Tadi. The problem is, if you count it up, it's not true. If you count it up, you only say Baruch Hanavshi 18 times a year. You say L'David more than that. So if you work with Tadir, that math doesn't work out. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, it's here on the page. I had to throw in some halacha in the shir, so we have this. So Rabbi Yaakov and Emes L'Yaakov says that's not the pshat. It's on the next page if we have a chance to get to it, we'll read it inside. But Yaakov Kamenetsky suggests that's not the pshat. The reason why Baruch Hinavshi goes before the David is because Baruch Hinavshi is the Shir Shal Yoim of Rosh Chodesh. It's a chelik of the davening. The davening on Rosh Chodesh concludes not with the regular Shir, but actually as an additional Shir, the Shir Shal Yoim. There are those that held on Rosh Chodesh, you only say one Shir, you don't say two, because Mizmor Baruch Hinavshi is the Shir of the day. The David is not a chelik of the davening. The David is an additional capital Hillim that we say at the end of davening. So of course, Baruch Hinavshi goes first. Not because Todde v'sheina Todde, because Baruch Hinavshi is davening while the David is an extra capital Tehillim. Just like for all those sad kufas in history where we have to say Tehillim for Achenu b'nei Yisrael when things are very bad. You're going to tell me now that capital Tehillim that we say at the end of davening for the situation in Eretz Yisrael is a part of davening? Of course it's not part of davening. Davening ends with the Yoyim and Kaddish. Davening's over. So now we say extra Tehillim. So the David Hashem Ari Pashtus is like that also. And there were many minhagim that didn't say the David Hashem Ari during davening. They said it throughout the day. It's not necessarily connected to davening. It's like a pittel to Hillel that should be said sometime throughout the day. But that's the opinion of the Mat Ephraim.
What's the reason for that?
That they don't explain. They only explain why they didn't like to do it. They don't say why it would be after Maariv. They just said twice a day. If anything, it's strange that it should be by Maariv. It would make more sense. It's hard to know because... The Mat Ephraim says it's Mincha. So we just mentioned that the reason why they like Mincha better is because you don't run into problems of saying Tehillim at night. But they don't really explain why. See, I have this theory with Menhagim, we can't over-lumdicize them. We can't get too much into like why or if. This is what they did. Why? I don't know. Because that was more convenient. I don't know. It worked into the schedule better. It's sometimes hard to really get into, especially a minute like this, as we'll learn tonight, is really unclear who started it and even why it was started. So we're really kind of working backwards. But the source that everyone says, the source for the Dovra Shemayri is the Mat Ephraim over here. The problem is that the Mat Ephraim doesn't give us any rhyme or reason for saying this kapitel. There's so many beautiful kapitel of Tehillim. So many of them. Now, if you read kapitel of Zion, which is Ladav Hashem, it's a beautiful kapitel of Tehillim. Doesn't mention a word of Yom HaDin, doesn't mention a word of Shofar, doesn't mention a word of Yom Kippur, nothing, nada, zero. So why this kapitel? There's a beautiful kapitel of Tehillim. Why did Ladav Hashem be the one that the minig became in almost all communities in Klal Yisrael that we recite this every single day? Why this kapitel? So in the number two, if you look in the Elof Lamate comes to explain it. He said, I'll tell you pshat. It comes based on the Medrash Shachar Toiv. And in the Kapitel Tehillim, there are Midrashim. So one of the Midrashim say, I'll tell you the pshat. The Medrash says that Oiri is Rosh Hashanah. Yishi is Yom Kippur. So there's a correlation between this Kapitel and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Then the Aleph Lamate goes on and says, and afterwards, Ki Yitzpeneini B'Sukkah, because you hid me in the Sukkah, Shuhu Remez L'Sukkahs. It's a Remez to Sukkahs. This is a mistake. It doesn't say that in the Medrash. The Elof Lamata made up the end of the Medrash. The Medrash doesn't say Ki Yitzpeneini B'Sukkah Zu Sukkahs. It says Ayri Zu Rosh Hashanah Yishi Zu Yom Kippur. That's the end of the Medrash. Okay, which is why the first minig of Mat Ephraim was only to say it up till Yom Kippur, because the whole reference is only up till Yom Kippur. Past Yom Kippur, there's no remez in the Medrash. But even if in Tim Soloima this Medrash is the way he brings it down, this is going to be the big motivational reason for all of us to say this kapitel, because there's a remez to it. There's hundreds of pshatim in the Medrash to what's pshat in this pasuk. So you picked one of them and we run with it, and this became minig in almost all communities to say it because of a remez and a Medrash. If we worked like this, we'd be saying Tehillim all day long. Almost all day long. There's a Medrash, Ayal Sashachar refers to Esther. Do we say that kapitel Tehillim on Purim? No. Because, okay, so what? Because there's a remez to a Medrash, all of a sudden that's a reason to say it. It seems to be a hard argument to believe that this is the reason. But this is the reason he gives. In other Achrayim of that era, for example, if you look in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch lived a little later than the Mat Ephraim. He was already into the 1800s. He also brings down this minhag. He writes, Oy noigim v'dinas elum yoyim beiz d'Rosh Chodesh el. He says, but the minhag starts from yoyim beiz d'Rosh Chodesh. There are those communities that actually start saying it on Aleph, Rosh Chodesh. That's not the widely accepted custom, but I think that's what Lubavitch does. I think they say it on the first day of Rosh Chodesh. But says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch the same minhag. We have a minhag starting from the second day to say it, Boikir v'erev, la'achar ha'tfila, es ha'mizbar, l'davar Hashem, oyv yishi, again, v'al pi ha'medrash. He also works with this same svara. It's based on the medrash, oyv yizu Rosh Hashanah, yishi yizu Yom Kippur. Okay, it's a very nice pshat, I guess, but it's a little hard to believe that that's the reason. If you look at Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah brings the minhag, mamash cut and pasted from the Mat Ephraim. Mishnah Berurah writes, number four, v'noyigim b'midin aseinu, v'esh chodesh elu ad yom kippurim, loyimah b'chol yoyim, acha gemar hatfila, mizmol adav ha'shamari, b'yikiv erif. This is a classic cut and paste over here, Mishnah Berurah. He's just taking whatever he saw in the Mat Ephraim and he's putting it down over here. So if you'll ask people, where does the minhag come from, adav ha'shamari, they'll tell you, comes from the Mishnah Berurah. That means you're telling me it started in the late 1800s and the early 1900s? No, it didn't come from Mishnah Berurah. You're telling me the Mishnah Berurah got it from the Mount Ephraim. Okay, I'm willing to accept that. That the Mishnah Berurah pulled it from the Mount Ephraim. So then the source of this minog starts from the times of the Mount Ephraim. But it's still a little shver. What exactly is the reason why this kapitel was picked? So if you look at number 5, the Panim Yofis al HaTorah, he has a very nice chat, which is really found in earlier people, but we'll give him the credit. It says like this. Why this kapitel? And he says, I heard such a pshat. It has 13 names of Hashem. We know one of the major themes of Elul is Gimel Midas, Hashem, Hashem. And it's a big theme. Therefore, this kapitel happens to also have Hashem's name 13 times. So it's a mesugal to say such a kapitel to Hillel. Okay. So it's interesting, if you look at number 5b, that the Achreidim run with this idea. They say, one second. If that's really the pshat for why we all say L'davar Hashem Mayri, it is because it corresponds to Yud Gimel Midas, so then we really shouldn't say it at the end of the davening. We should really say it earlier in the davening. If you look in the Lakutei Ma'arich, he brings down, there's some communities that Taka used to say L'davar Hashem Mayri, not after davening, but they'd say it after Shemana Esrei, before Chatzis Kaddish. Why? So he says, I'll tell you why. The Efshir HaKavon Al Pi Mashikotze Basidi Reb Shapsi, that the Reb Shapsi Merokshav, who was one of the other sources that bring down the same svar as we saw over here from the Panim Yafas, we'll talk more about that later, that the reason is with to do with the Yigimel Midas, Ulekach Yesh Be Yigimel Shemai Savai, Ulekach Oy Maisim Rish Chedish Elo, Ki Merish Chedish Elo, Niftucha Yid Gimel Mikaro, Yis Mid Gimel Machilin De Rachami. This is the time where the 13 openings of Rachami. Ulekach Yesh Shaychis Lemizbo Hu Achet Tfilos Yud Ches. If so, then this kapitel should be said right after Shemana Esrei. When do we say he's Gimel Midas? When do you say he's Gimel Midas? Right after Shemana Esrei. So he tied if the reason for why we say L'davar Hashem Mayri is because of its connection to the Gimel Midas, we shouldn't wait till the end of the davening. Instead, we should Taka say it earlier. And there were communities that Taka did that. They Taka said Gimel Midas after Shemana Esrei. They would say L'davar Hashem Mayri after Shemana Esrei. According to this reason, it makes a lot of sense. And then he's.
It also does make sense to go to the surface.
Right. If it has to do with this, then the minute that the Mount Ephraim started with really makes more sense. If the pshat has to do with either, you know, the Yud Gimel Shemus, or even the pshat of the Medrash, it should stop where Ovi is Rosh Hashanah and Yesh is Yom Kippur. Then he says another pshat, another minug. He says there was another minug on a laning day, on Monday and Thursday, Yesh Noigim, B'yom Kriyas HaTorah, B'psichas HaAron. Faket, they would say the Davar HaShemayu when they open the Sefer Torah. That's another good time to say Yud Gimel Midas. That's when we do it on Yom Tov, right? We say Yud Gimel Midas when we take out the Sefer Torah. So on a Monday and Thursday day, or a day whenever there was laning on Shabbos and Yom Tov, they would say L'davar Hashem Mayri then. Why? Same idea. Meaning what we're showing is that there were communities that had a minute to say L'davar Hashem Mayri, not at the end of davening. The question is, why would they say it then? The answer is, it's move on based on what we're saying. If the whole L'davar Hashem Mayri is based on the Yud Gimel Midas element, the Yud Gimel Shemus of Hashem, so say it whenever you say Yud Gimel Midas. So therefore, they used to say it either after Shemana Esrei or on a laning day, they'd say it when they took the Sefer Torah. So that's very geschmack. It fits very nicely if the reason for the L'davar Hashem Mayri is directly connected to the fact that it correlates to Yud Gimel Midas. The truth is, there are svarim written on why we say this kapitel. I only picked a couple of pshatim just to mix it up a little bit. Of why this kapitel was chosen. If you look at number 6 in the Sefer Sheiris Menachem, he writes like this: Tam Amiras kapitel Hashem Davar Hashem Ayri Bechedish Elva Tishrei Al Pipirish Apanim Yafes LaHafla. Based on another piece of Hafla, that was the other Sefer. The Panim Yafes Al Tayr is the Hafla. This is a different piece of Hafla. The Hafla says in the pasuk: Acha Shalte Imeis Hashem Iso Avakish Lefi HaGemara and Tainus. The Hafla says the Gemara and Tainus that says the Mishmaya Tati LaYavdi Shemayim can't do two. Meaning you got to ask for one thing. A person asks for things. We all need a lot of things. We ask for a lot of things. We don't just ask for one thing. We want health, and we want our kids to be good, and we want to have money, and we want a lot of things. We have big ideas. But however, if the way we ask it is, don't give me X, Y, and Z. Give me one thing. Give me enough that I could survive and serve Hashem without having to worry. That's one she'ela. That I'm asking for one thing. Instead of asking for food and parnasa and health and good kids. No, that's all 5 things. But if I ask it a little differently, says the Hafla, I ask for one thing. Hashem, provide me with everything I need so I can relax and not be stressed and I can serve you better. So then it becomes one shayla, it's one bakasha. So he says, that's what we're doing over here. Where we're trying to make it that when we come to ask Hashem, we don't want to ask Hashem for 20 things. We want to make it Acha She'alti Oisav Akesh. We only ask Hashem for one thing. We ask for one thing. Hashem, please give me a year where I don't have to be so preoccupied with everything else under the sun that I can't be able to serve you better. So that's why we say the capital of Acha She'alti Mi'Oisav Hashem. We're trying to bring home this idea that I'm asking for one thing. Oisav Akesh, I'm asking you for one thing. Shifti Beveis Hashem. I want to be able to just serve you, Hashem, and therefore whatever is going to take me away from that, I'm asking you to fix. So he's saying that the reason why we say this capital is because we're trying to show Hashem that we really only want one thing. We want to serve you, Hashem, without having to worry about everything under the sun. So we're asking to provide us with all that we need so we can serve you and do the one thing that we ask him. That's a shtickel achsidish pshat from the Sheyus Menachem. Switching over to the Litvish side, the Gevurs Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Saratskin has a different pshat. Rabbi Yitzchak Saratskin suggests, based on the pshat of Avram, the son of, he turns the pshat like this. Now what does Ayri mean? Ayri means Torah. Ayri means Torah. So what's pshat? So he's saying like this. Kama chaviv in him divrei Torah, kama chaviv in him oisim shayskum etorif nekash baruch. We're saying how much does Hashem love those people who learn his Torah? And the word Ayri is referring to Torah, not Rosh Hashanah like the other Achreidim. Ayri means Torah. What does that have to do with thing? So he says, "Lafi hamavur asi shaper." Lomo oimi bedavka mizmer zevegam oimi ma'isa be'elu hayom. Lafi hamavur hanach abayim yom yishchedish elu adim kibur mehaven yemei tshuva. V'aderech letshuva idei esik v'liman atayra. We want to bring out the idea of Torah because Torah is going to be one of the mechanisms that we use to do tshuva. One of the paths that we use to connect to Hashem, to get forgiveness from Hashem, to rekindle our relationship, is through Torah. That's what we're saying. Hashem, Ayri v'yishu, is saying Hashem, through the Torah that we learn and the Torah that we care about, we're asking you to, you know, forgive us and bring us closer. So that's his pshat, that the capital is referring to Torah. It's not referring to you give on midas, it's not referring to asking, it's referring to Torah. My humble opinion, I think the simple pshat in the capital of Hashem Ayri is that it's talking about a relationship. If you read through the capital, and I urge everyone to read through it, you read through the capital, you'll see it's talking about a relationship between us and Hashem. Because we say, my parents forgot me, Hashem, Yasvein, and Hashem took me in. We're talking about there's a real relationship between us and Hashem. Once a person comes to the Hakar that there's a real relationship, so then Yom Neroyim have a very different experience. So that's why we say this time of year, for us to realize this relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in any case, you fill in the reason to why we say it, but at least we have some form of Minhagim to why we say it. However, throughout history, there have been people that have been very against this Kapitel Tehillim. And they specifically did not say this Kapitel Tehillim. Why not? And who were they people? We'll get to the Sanzas later, yeah. We'll get to the Sanzas. Let's first deal with the Litvishes, okay? We'll deal with the Litvishes first. So if you look at number 8, they bring down from the Maiser Rav of the Gra, that the Gra held Gam Rosh Chodesh El Ad Yom Kippurim. So even from Rosh Chodesh El until Yom Kippur, Ein Oim Kapitel Chav Zayin. The Gra didn't say it. Okay, the Gra didn't say it. Why didn't the Gra say it? So if you look in the bottom, in the little piece, which is from the same Sefer Maiser Rav, they tied it. The Tamo Meshum Tircha Litzibur. The Gra said, who says to say it? It's not brought down in the Gemara, it's not brought down in the Rishayim, so why should we say it? Just to make davening longer. We don't need it. Tirch the Tzibur. People have to go home, people have to go to work. Why say extra things? So the Gra pushed it away, not because he was against it, not because he held it wasn't a beautiful capital, but he just held, if we're going to do that, we're going to be in shul a whole day. No one's going to work, so it's not going to help. So therefore the Gra said, no, Davar Shemari. You'll ask me if you open a siddur today, if you open one of the Gra siddurim, you'll find it there. The answer is because the printers decided to become Balabatim. What used to happen was, the Gedolim used to write their own Siddurim, and the Siddurim were the way they wanted it. Once we introduced the printer, then everyone does whatever they want. The printer puts in what he wants, takes out what he wants, does whatever he wants. So today you can open a Siddur that says Gra on it, and you'll find the Davar HaShemayri in it. And it's not because the Gra put it in. That's because the printer decided to put it in, the Davar HaShemayri. So you can't bring a riot today from what you see in the printed Siddurim. But the Gra himself did not say it. The Gra held there's no reason. He wasn't against it. He didn't hold there's something wrong with it. He just felt there's no real reason to say it. I have it on the next page, but the another group of Jews who don't say it are the Yekis. Yekis also don't say the Davar HaShemayri. This might be the only thing the Yekis and the Chassidim have in common. We'll see a little later. But the Yekis talk also don't say the Davar HaShemayri. In Yerusha Seinu, it's brought down, they don't say the Davar HaShemayri. Okay, so we have the Gra on one side, we have the Yekis on the other side, then we have everyone else seemingly in Klai Yisrael who says the Davar HaShemayri.
One of the reasons, I think, is because if you look at Yerusha Seinu, particularly about Hamburger,
yeah.
These Mechanim are all from very early. Anything that came later,
from, right.
Like the time of Rishon Man, very rarely included.
Right. So this one is an easy one, I think. This one just, where's it brought down?
Yeah,
now, there's no compelling argument to say, just because whoever dreamed it up. Well, let's say we'll blame the Mata Ephraim, but that takes us to the late 1700s. That doesn't necessarily motivate anyone to have to do, because it was brought down at the beginning of the late 1700s. But there's more of a tumult about not why the Gra didn't say it, or not why the Yekis didn't say it, but why the Sanzer Rebbe didn't say it. So if you look over here, number 9, from the Sefer Pardes Eliezer. The Sefer Pardes Eliezer writes the following. that the Sanzi Rebbe, the Divrei Chaim was one of the leading Gedolei Chassidish Rebbes. Sanzi Rebbe had 8 boys and 7 daughters. He also had 4 wives. Okay? So Sanzi Rebbe had 15 children, 4 wives. And many of his children are today Chassidus that we know of are all offshoots of Sanzer. Babov is an offshoot of Sanz. Klausenberg is an offshoot of Sanz. So many of the very popular Chassidim that we have today all come from the Divrei Chaim. The reason why that's important, as we'll see, different Menhagim, you have to remember which Chassidus stam, so to say, from what we call Sanzer Chassidim. So we have over here that the Sanzer Rebbe didn't say, Loi Nagul Amra. The Sanzer Rebbe would not recite the Davar HaShemayri. Why not? So the reason given for Amr HaTam, because it's not brought down by that reason. So why should we say it? That was the simple reason that the Sanzer Rebbe gave for why he didn't say this capital, because he felt it's not brought down by that reason. If it's not brought down by that reason, I'm not going to say it. Or it's not brought down by Reb Chaim Vital, who is one of the Talmidim Muvhakim of that reason. It's not brought down in literature from the Talmidim of that reason. It's not good enough for me. That was the easy reason why the Sanzer Rebbe didn't say it. The truth is, the Sanzers are not the only Chassidim who don't say it. Rapshitzers don't say it. Apta Chassidim don't say it. There's a couple of groups of Chassidim who don't say it. But everyone tumbles about the Sanzer. Why he didn't say it? He didn't say it because it wasn't brought down in that reason. The problem is, you know how many things are not brought down in that reason that Chassidim do? Come on. Tons of things. Everything in that reason is what they do. That's a very hard argument. So there's another reason in the family of the Sanzers of why they don't do it. There's a sefer written, Divrei Moshe, Shas Chus Divrei Moshe, was written by a Yid, Moshe Halberstam. The Halberstam is from that Mishpacha. Halberstam was the name of the Divrei Chaim. He was a Halberstam. But the Babavas are also Halberstams. They're all related. They're cousins. So Babava Chassidim also don't say the Divrei Shemayri. I was in Borough Park last year during the Elul. I walk into Shul. I David Mincha, I figure Sfad, and Nusach Sfad, I'll say La David. Not only don't they say La David, it's not even in the Siddur. They don't even print it into the Siddur. It's not there at all. They don't say it. Babav doesn't say it. Because they're Ein Akloch from the Divrei Chaim and from the Sanz. Sanz Rebbe didn't say it. So they don't say it. Then it doesn't even make it into their Siddur. They control their Siddur. Not like us. They control what goes into their Siddur. So the Davar HaShemayri doesn't go into the Siddur because they don't say it. Okay, no problem. But the question is, why did the Sanzer Rebbe not say it? So the Divrei Moshe Tain is, he has a Kabbalah in the family. Mekublani mibeis avoysai, I have a Kabbalah from the family. Ki mekiva shetakaras amiris abizmol Davar HaShemayri Rosh Chodesh Elul b'seif ha-tfilo hum menaseif rechemdas hayomim. Says Ramesh Halberstam, I have a reason why the Alter Zeder didn't say it. It wasn't because it wasn't in the writings of the Arizal. No, this is more controversial than that. This is because the original source of this Sefer, of this minig, is in a Sefer called Chemdas Hayamim. And the Sefer Chemdas Hayamim is Apostle of Sefer. Why? Ashi yesh olav ayurim ki yadua. Because there's a lot of people that have problems with the Sefer. And that's why the Zeder, the Divrei Chaim, didn't say it, because this reason, because it was authored by the Sefer Divrei Chemdas Hayamim, and the Sefer Chemdas Hayamim is treif, because it's written by someone who's trouble. Okay? So obviously this leads us up a good conversation. Who wrote the Chemdas Hayamim, and how treif was he? Right? So how much can we sell these Sfarim for? Now that we banned them, now that the Sefer's bad, they just triple in price, and now we can go out and buy these Sfarim and sell them. So it seems to be a machloikis in the Sanzer family. I was giving a shir mamish today to Talmidim of mine, and in the middle of the shir, two kids raised their hand. They told me their mamish ben, their Einikloch, the last name is a Halberstam, their Einikloch from the Sanzer Rebbe. I said, you guys have a project for homework. You got to go home tonight. You call up your grandfather, whoever else is alive, and you find out what's the story with Sanzer Chassidim. Is it because it wasn't in the writing of the Arizal, or is it because they believe this thing that it's from this controversial sefer? I gave them homework to come back tomorrow and let me know what they found out from their family. But it seems to be two different reports in Sanzer dynasty why they don't say it. But let's.
It's in the matter of Ryan. I mean, this is not the only source.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit history now for a few minutes. If you assume like this version of Reb Moshe Halberstam that the reason why it's puzzle or why people didn't say it was because it came from the Sefer Chemdas Hayomim, what's so wrong with the Sefer Chemdas Hayomim? If you look at number 11, I photocopied from the Sefer Chemdas Hayomim. You could buy it. It's a beautiful prints of Chemdas Hayomim. I have it on my Yitzchak Chacham. A beautiful Sefer. Look what he writes. In number 11. He says over here, V'anoichi nehakti, I have a minog, ga mizmar chav zayin l'david Hashem oiri v'yishi, ומזמר למד גימול רענו צדיקים, שניסקו בחולך מהם שולש עשרי שמס הווי, כנגד שולש עשרי מחילן דרחמן, שמסקלנו מאירים ראש חדש אלו ואילך כנוידה. A beautiful ostical Torah that you should say, yeah, a beautiful reason. You should say the Hashem Ayri because it has the 13 shemes of Hashem. What's so bad about this idea of coming from the Chemdas Hayamim? So the Chemdas Hayamim is a wonderful sefer with an unknown author. We don't know who authored the sefer. So, okay, so that doesn't puzzle it. The problem is in one of the printings, in the Amsterdam printing, if you'd open up a Chemdas Hayamim, you look at the front cover, there's a picture of someone. A picture of a Yid. And the picture of that Yid is a picture of a fellow named Nosson Hanavi. Nosson HaNavi was one of the big Talmidim of Shabtai Tzvi. He was Shabtai Tzvi's mouthpiece. He was in charge of spreading the Shabtai Tzvi movement, and he did quite a good job. He's a talented fellow. There's a whole story behind him himself. He Be'etzim started off as a Talmid Chacham. He was a good guy. I think he kind of got swept up in the whole situation. But at the end of the day, he was a very, very, very big spreader of Shabtai Tzvi's ideology. So everyone says, if there's a picture of him in the front cover, he's got to be the author of the Sefer. If he's the author of the Sefer is treif. Sefer is treif, you throw the Sefer out, anything that's in the Sefer is unusable. That's the simple understanding of what Rebbe Halberstam is telling us over here. So the Sanzer Rebbe held that this Sefer is treif, puzzle, you can't use it, throw the Sefer out.
That would have been ordered somewhere in 1600.
So the Sefer Chemnes Yomah first came out to print in 1737. That's the first time it was in print, in 1737. So if you tell me that was the first source, then maybe you're right. Okay, you'll tell me. 1737, the Sefer came out. The Mount Ephraim lived after that. So the Mount Ephraim saw in the Chemnes Yom, he borrowed it, and that's how the whole, that's how everything started. So the Sanzer Rebbe said, I don't subscribe to Chemnes Yom. I don't like what's in that Sefer. There's a couple of problems. Problem number one is not everyone held Chemnes Yom as treif. There are plenty of people, and the new print Chemnes Yom, the one who printed it, he spent a lot of time and ink showing you a lot of people that held this is a beautiful, wonderful Sefer. He quotes from a whole list of very reputable people, the Gra and others, Chacham Sofer, a whole list of Gedolim that held this is a wonder, great Sefer. It's not a Trefer Sefer at all. So it's debatable. Is this Sefer Trefer, not Tref? And if you assume it's Tref, so maybe that's why the Sanzer Rebbe didn't say this kapitel. The problem with this version is there are too many people post the Chemdes Hayamim who brought down this beautiful minhag. Too many very reputable people. The Chida brings it down. The Chida was a very chashev yid, and the Chida brings down to say the minhag of the Dovid Hashem Ayri. They bring down from Reb Shapsi. Reb Shapsi was one of the Talmidim of Baal Shem Tov. He also brings down a beautiful piece. It's over here. You can look inside. How beautiful the piece of the Dovid Hashem Ayri is. It's a beautiful piece to say. He uses a lashon. If you look at number 12, everyone loves a good skula. He says over here number 12, Kala'imer Mizmar Chav Zayin. This is from Reb Shapsi. Anyone who says this kapitel Tehillim from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Simchas Torah. He's guaranteed his years will all be good. Beautiful, beautiful haftacha. And even if Nebuch, a person, had a very evil gzeira that was supposed to befall him, by just reciting this, an easy way out. By just reciting this kapitel to Tehillim, says Reb Shapsi, you get out of jail free card. A very beautiful thing. Says Reb Shapsi, if a person says this, he gets free. He doesn't have to worry about people trying to bring him down. No kitchen. A beautiful, beautiful, beautiful haftach. And this was later, but to say that everyone got it from the Chemnes Yomim is a little hard to believe. It's interesting. The Chida also held this is a beautiful piece. If you look at number 13, the Chida writes, "Lahatzlocha ulishmira." If a person wants success and to be protected, Yoimar Mizmo Dav Hashem Ayri Achah Kol Tefilas Shachris Mincha Arvis. He says all tefilas Shachris Mincha Arvis Beresh Chodesh Elah Matziyim Kippur. Many Svardim have a minute to say the Dav Hashem Ayri every day. Every day they say beautiful kapitel. Say it every day. So to say that it came from the different, that the only person who authored this was the Chemnes Yom, it's very hard to believe. If you look at number 14, I put over from a Sefer V'Dirash of Chakarta, he says, "V'avshehu muskar gam b'sefer sheyesh al v'ayir b'chemdes hayomim." Maybe you're right. It's in Chemdes Hayomim. We can't deny it. We photocopied it. It's in Sefer Chemdes Hayomim. He says, "Mikom akom lo nifsal haminag hatoiv." Just because one bad guy writes it, no one else can use it. Gam kishanoshim she'alu heim loy toivim nagu boy. He says, "What? No one's allowed to keep a minhag because one of the sources is in a bad sefer? What about all the other people who quoted the Chida and Reb Shapsi? So because one person says it's bad, that's it. We no longer can do it." Right, so there's a lot of things in Chemdes Hayomim. You know, some of it's actually very good. Some he has a shtickle Torah to answer, but Kasha Nigman Brachas. There's some good stuff in there. But to say that this is the reason why, the reason why Sanzer Chassidim didn't say it was because of Chemdes Hayomim is very hard for a couple of reasons. First of all, Chemdes Hayomim is not agreed by all that it was a bad sefer. Some people held very strongly of it. Some people give glowing endorsements of it. Some people hold it's a very chashuv sefer. And secondly, there were too many other people at that time that were saying it. To say that everyone got it from Chemdes Hayomim is a little bit of a difficult sell, in my opinion.
And more than that, some of the sounds of Chassidim do say
it. Oh, that's a bigger problem. Some of the sounds of Enoch say it. Right, we'll get to that. I guess he listened to the same Shnei Alayman shit. Okay, very good. We got to give him credit. What Shnei Alayman did was he found these svarim. But now that we have these svarim, so now we can look at them as well. So this is a lot of what he has. I just have the photocopies in front of you.
According to some of these reasons, why would we say it on Shabbos?
That's a good point. Meaning if it all has to do with...
Right.
So then it's a little funny to say it on Shabbos. Shabbos is generally a day where we don't ask for things. We're kind of focused on Hashem. It's a good point. It's an interesting thing that why... That's the whole tumult with the Shir HaMalos. Yeah, that's a good question of how far do we take it, that are we really asking, or we're just like, you know, it comes part of the davening and then somehow becomes mutter. Again, this is always the question with these menhagim, like, you know, how much can we ask of them, you know, why did they? So in theory, they should have made the minhag only, you know, Sunday through Friday. It's a good point. If the reason has to do with that, then it is a little hard to believe that it became the minhag even on Shabbos. It's a good point. But we found earlier people that bring down this minhag. If you look on the next page, there's a sefer called Shem Toiv Katan. It's a sefer written by Rabbi Yamin Benish HaKoyin. Rabbi Yamin Benish HaKoyin was a kuli alma, a good person. He has askamas from some wonderful people. Avram Brody gives him askama. He wasn't a debatable, he wasn't a shady character at all. He was a chashev Talmud Chacham. Now, his sefer came out much earlier. His sefer came out in 1706. What does he write in his sefer that came out in 1706? He writes, "V'tzarich lizor ma'oid ma'oid." People have to be very careful. "Sheyoyim ezeh hamizmer erev u'boiker." That you should say this kapitel every night and every morning. "V'ayoyim b'yoyim," every single day. Right? He's speaking out. Don't think you can skip a day. "M'reish chelish el arachasim chas Torah." Ozai muftach, then you're guaranteed shiyotzi shnois of yom of betuv. Your years will be good. V'yarav lov yachnia ideas of kol min matrigim. You'll be able to push aside any of those people that are trying to be makatrig you, those bad malachim that are trying to get you into trouble with Hashem. You'll be able to push them away. Then he goes some further. He says the chos soy gadol. So very important. Even if the worst decree is decreed on a person, beautiful, same similar piece to what we saw in earlier Achreinim, but this was at first. He was in 1706. So the minhag to say the David Shemayri couldn't have came from the Chemdes Yom. Chemdes Yom came out much later. This sefer came out first in 1706. So why blame the Chemdes Yom? Give the credit to Rav Benish Cohen and say we should all be saying the kapit. So that's the problem with saying that it came from the sefer Chemdes Yomim, because he wasn't the first one to bring it down. It's brought down in earlier. Then there was another sefer written called the Sefer Zechira, written by Reb Zechariah, that came out in 1709, way before the Chemdes Yomim was ever printed. So to say it all comes from the Chemdes Yomim historically is just not true, because we see clearly it was printed in earlier Sfar. So that leaves us with the question of why exactly would there be people against it? You can't blame the Chemdes Yomim on this one, because it came out before the Chemdes Yomim. Why would you not say it? So if you look at number 17, I quote over here from the Minahage of Morocco, that Nogu 17, Nogu Leftayach Es HaTfila B'Mizmah L'Dav Hashem Oyer V'Yishi. So I asked a Sfaradish Jew, he told me, he doesn't say, but it's in the Sfaradish Siddur. If you open a Sfaradish Siddur, you'll see L'Dav Hashem Oyer is in the daily davening. He told me he doesn't say it. But over here they bring down Minag Morocco, that supposedly Moroccan Jews say L'Dav Hashem Oyer every single day. Because again, it's a beautiful kapitel, it's a powerful kapitel, it may not be directly connected to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Sfarim maybe say it even every single day. And then the flip side is what we mentioned earlier from Yerush Hasena, from the Yerkes, is Einemim L'Dav Hashem Oyer Echad Tfilin. No, they don't say it. So Imam have two extremes. We have Sfarim saying it every day, Yerkes never saying it. Then we have us in the middle who say it a part of the year. So then this is really where the question begins to be needs to be answered. Why exactly would some people say it and some people not say it? So this is the story that Shneur Lyman says over, but this is where he got it from. This is the print of it, well, so to say. It's from a sefer called Nezer HaKodesh, written by a Rav Shitzer, and he tells the following story. This is a story. He writes like this: Hagoyin Achos Reb Shimon, Hagoyin Achos Reb Shimon Zelikov. Shimon Zelikov was the Mashkiach in Yeshivas Chach Lublin. That was his background. He was killed in the Holocaust in 1943. He was a Chashev Yid, a Chassidish Yid, a good Jew. People loved him. He was the Mashkiach in Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin. Okay, so what was the story? But Eitz Shabo Pamachas Latzanz. He one time made a visit to the sons of Beis Medrash. Beis Medrash Shal Agoyin HaKadosh Rabbi Yalei Bishmitzanz. He went to visit Rabbi Yalei Mitzanz. Rabbi Yalei Mitzanz was a grandson of the Divrei Chaim, a much younger one. Again, he had 15 kids, so they were spread out. So Rabbi Yalei was a grandson of the Divrei Chaim. Rabbi Yalei Bish died in 1935. So you got to figure this happened sometime in the late 20s, early 30s. So this Reb Shimon comes to the Beis Medrash and he has an agenda. He wants to know the Ro'o Shein Oimim Shom L'Davar Hashemai Reachat Fila. He sees that in Reb Leibish's Beis Medrash, they're not saying L'Davar, like a good son's a Yid. And he says, Yishoylus Avreichim, he asked the Koyl guys there, he asked the Bnei Torah there, Bnei Ma'in Oim L'Davar Hashemai Kam B'Tzanz. Why over here in Tzanz are you not saying L'Davar Hashemai? Ve'ulei B'Shinevo Oimrim. But he said, one second, Shinevo is the Shinevo Rebbe was the son of the Divrei Chaim. So in Shinevo, Beis Medrash, they do say L'Davar Hashemai. So Reb Shimon over here went over to one of these guys in the yeshiva and said, I don't understand you guys. Here in Tzanz, you don't say it. You're an Einikol. Your Rebbe is an Einikol from the Divrei Chaim. But the Divrei Chaim's son, the Shinevo, he did say L'Davar Hashemai. What's going on over here? Something doesn't add up. Seems to be very strange. There must have been a break somewhere in the Masoreh. What happened? This was the question that he answered. He said, "Ve'ilu b'shinav aymim, v'ahimtin l'tshuva." Reb Shimon didn't even let this Talmud, this Avrich, have even a chance to answer it. This was one of those questions with already a given answer. He told them a story. He says, "I'll tell you the story. I'll tell you a story that explains it." This is the story. Watch. Sipur Moran Baal Hashem Toiv Hakodesh. This is the story that the Baal Shem Tov says over. What's the story? That there was a Yid who lived named Rebbe Yoel Baal Shem. Rebbe Yoel Baal Shem lived in the late 1500s. He died in 1580. Who was Rebbe Yoel Baal Shem? He was a Baal Shem. What does a Baal Shem mean? It means he had powers of using his name. He was able to make Shemas Hashem. He was able to make things happen. He was a special Jew. He was also the great-grandfather of the Chacham Tzvi. Why do we know that? Because the Chacham Tzvi writes in the Tshuva that his grandfather made a Goylem. And there's a whole discussion in the Tshuva. We've spoken about this in other Shurim, whether or not the Goylem is Mitztarif Laminyan. Can you kill a Goylem? A whole Shtickel Torah. And his grandfather, Rebbe Yoel Baal Shem, made a Goylem. Unlike the Maral, who never made a Goylem, right? We'll say that on tape. The Maral never made a Goylem. But he did make a Goylem. Rebbe Yoel Baal Shem made a Goylem. Rebbe Yoel Baal Shem was a big-time Chacham. He was a Rav in the city of Chelm, in Poland, in the late 1500s. He was a contemporary of the Marshal. So what was the story? Here's the story. The whatever you want to call it at the time, the king, the ruler of Poland, of Chelm, he didn't have any children. So what do the good Goyim do? They come to the Jew for the davening. So he came to the Jews. If you don't come and daven for me, I'm going to kick out all the Jews. So what happened? So he promised him, 12 months he'll have a baby boy. It's a pretty hefty promise. Now Rabbi Yoel Baal Shem had to come through on this. So that's where he kind of got into trouble. It wasn't so easy for him to come through on this promise. This is a big promise. So what happened? This is all the Baal Shem Tov's version of the story to his Talmidim. So what happened? This wasn't easy. So first he went the normal way. He dived into the malachim. To the positive things, the things that are kaddish. He dived into the malachim. Paul didn't work. He didn't get an answer. He then went to the bad malachim, whatever that means. Paul didn't work. He went to the sitra achra, the highest level of tumma, whatever that means exactly. Those who are well-versed in chassidus will know what this stuff means, but we know it's not good. So he went to Sitra Achra to plead with him to make sure this happens. Okay, so that wasn't so good. So Vesayim Baal Shem Tov, and Baal Shem Tov ends off on the story, you can read the Yiddish on your own, but basically this wasn't a good thing. That he got so punished for what he did, is that really he was supposed to be killed. He was supposed to really die. As a chutzpah, who told the rebellion to do this? But since he was Moshe Nefesh V'Klal Yisrael, so they lessened his punishment. So how they lessen his punishment? So it says over here, this is what the Baal Shem Tov said. We'll read a little bit Yiddish. Mevatel zayin tzvei tfilas vos er mesaken givar. The punishment was, instead of Rebbe Yoel being killed, they took away two tfilas that he instituted in Klal Yisrael, will no longer be in Klal Yisrael. What are the two tfilas? Echad hu l'davar Hashem ayri, ve'echad ki gavna. So says the Baal Shem Tov, this is the story. The story was that the originator of this minhag wasn't the Matar Ephraim. It wasn't Chemdas Hayomim. It wasn't even Rav Beinish. It goes way back. It goes back to the late 1500s. Right around this Zman Achreinim, was this Rebbe Yoel Baal Shem. He instituted it, and we pulled it away because he misbehaved. He did inappropriately with dealing with saving the Jews of Poland. That's the story. So Reb Shimon went further. He says that I'm a Kava Kabbalah from Rebbe Yimelech Mlezhinsk. Lo Yehoye Omi Kigav the Be'er Shabbos Kodesh. Rebbe Yimelech didn't say Kigav the Be'er Shabbos Kodesh. Then Vahoye Omi L'Davar Hashem Ayri Be'elu. Then he was able to say L'Davar Hashem Ayri. Because you can't say both. It's either one or the other. V'ilu Hagayin HaKadosh Baal Yisrael Me'apter, but the apter of Hoye Omi Kigav the Be'er Shabbos. He would say Kigav the. Oh, so if he'd say Kigav the, he can't say L'Davar David also. So that's why Minag Apter was not to say L'Davar David. So this is what his Shtickel Torah was. His Shtickel Torah to them was that each Chassidus, for whatever reason, some took one and some took the other. And therefore, those who say Kigavna don't say L'David, and those who say L'David don't say Kigavna. You can't say both, because you have to lose one tefillah to be the punishment for Rebbe Yoel Baal Shem. Now, there's another version. Like any good story, there's always another version. And I have it over here on the side. The other version is a slightly different. The other version is that the Rav Amagid Mimizrich, Chiluk Bein Talmidov, the Magid Mimizrich decided to split up the Talmidim. And he said like this. He said, some of you say Kigavna, And some of you say in the Dov, he split it amongst the Chassidim. L'chalik mehem, tziva loy me kigavna v'loy l'dovid, u'l'chalik mehem tziva loy me l'dovid, Hashem ayu v'loy kigavna. He told Talmidim, your Chassidim should only say l'dovid. You guys only say kigavna. This way, there'll never be two of them that are not said. That's pshat in the Kabbalah. Because each Chassidus took their own. Each Chassidus was told by the Rebbe which one you do and which one you don't do. But eventually what ended up happening is everything got mixed up. And therefore everything became one big mixture. And eventually everyone started to say both. So Lefiza, this was the story. The Divrei Chaim didn't say Ledavid, but would have said Kigavna. So the Shinova didn't say Kigavna, but would have said Ladavid. So the explanation between why the Chassidim don't say it has nothing to do with the fact that it came from this controversial Sefer. It's not because of the Grub, because of Tirchlet Zibur, but because as a punishment to Rebbe Yoel Baal Shem for what he did in the late 1500s, so he had to lose out on one of his tefillahs, and one of the tefillahs that he lost out was going to be the tefillah of the Ladavid Hashem Ayu. In Kibalti Kibalta, if you want to accept it, it's a story, okay? Here it's written down, the story. If that's the pshat, that's the pshat. But other than that, there's really no good reason to why the minhag became that some chassidim do and some chassidim don't. But if you accept the story, and I emphasize the if, so now the source of Ladavid Hashem Ayu is dating back to the late 1500s. Not to the late 1700s, but it dates back to the late 1500s, which makes it a little bit more compelling that its minhag wasn't made up a few hundred years ago. The minhag was really dated back to the early times of the Achrein. That's just a historical conversation to the significance of Ladavid Hashem Ayu. Just to wrap up some interesting halachic shahs that always come up, is that as we mentioned in the beginning of the shir, that Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfard say it at different times. So you get yourself a little confused if you're at the wrong minyan at the wrong time. Right? Let's say you're a Nusach Ashkenaz guy, and you come to daven mincha at a Nusach Sfard minyan. So do you or don't you say Ladavid? Well, your minyan is not to say Ladavid now, but the shul is saying Ladavid. What should you say? So if you look over here, number 20, they bring down over here that there are those who want to say it should be similar to what Rav Moshe wrote in a tshuva. Rav Moshe wrote in a tshuva that if you're in a place that doesn't say v'david gimel midas, I'm saying if you don't say, you what we call nusach ashkenaz, you don't say yud gimel midas, but you're in a shul that says yud gimel midas, so Rav Moshe paskin, you have to say yud gimel midas with them, follow whatever the tzibur does. So they want to tell you who had in this. If you're in a shul that says ladavid, say ladavid, do whatever the tzibur does. However, at the end, they bring down b'shem b'liyashiv, that b'liyashiv held not like that. B'liyashiv said, "She'ein tzorich loyim l'davar Hashem ayirim ha'kohol." You don't have to. So B'liyashiv paskin, you don't have to say l'davar with them. So if you're davening a nusach svad minyan b'mincha, you don't have to say with them. You do as your minyan. There's no problem. That was also the opinion of the Divrei Moshe. Rav Moshe Halberstam also held there's no loisus great to do problems. Do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. They bring down just interesting enough from Rav Shlomo Zalman, number 23, they say for Isha Yisrael, Rav Shlomo Zalman said, "Nah, Rav Shlomo Zalman said that if your minig is to say Zeb betfilas mincha or mespal b'minyan kavua, shenayg l'ayim betfilas ma'ariv, yoymer betfilas ma'ariv, v'kafim minig hatzibur." Rav Shlomo Zalman held, do whatever the tzibur is doing, like they want to say Rav Moshe held, not like Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Yashiv held, do whatever you want, say it whenever you want. So it can come out, you can sometimes be saying the Davar Shemayiv three times a day, depending on where you daven mincha and ma'ariv, and sometimes you say the Davar Shemayiv only once a day. Right, depending on where you daven. If you daven mincha at Nusach Ashkenaz, and you daven Ma'ariv at Nusach Sfard, and you go with Minhag HaTzibur, it comes out you're going to say the Dvar Hashem only once. Okay. Right. Again, I think it's not a big deal. You can say the Dvar Hashem quietly. You don't have to make a whole declaration about it. You know. Right, it's another kibbutz of the hill, and people say tehillah at the end of the day, so I don't think it's, right, so when we talk about the halachic ramification of Dvar Hashem Ayu, there's not too much to it, because it doesn't hurt to say it, say it again, say it three times, say it once, it's all good, you're saying kibbutz of the hill, there's nothing wrong with it, but if you find yourself in a chassidish shul, and you're wondering why now, why they're not saying Dvar Hashem Ayu, so you can ask the guy next to you, if he heard the story of the reason why chassidim don't say Dvar Hashem Ayu, has to do with what we said earlier, dating back to the minhagim of the Rebbe Yoel Baal Shem.